The verse number 26 of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." In the book of Hebrews, the chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." I want to speak this evening upon a solemn subject, a real subject that faces each and every one of us, and that is the reality of death. Now, whenever you open the page of Holy Scriptures and go to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll read the story of God's creation. But you'll notice something that is missing in that story, because there's no mention anywhere of death. In actual fact, everything is mentioned there. It's concerning life, how that God created and God gave them life. And then, of course, when you come to the second chapter, it tells us that God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And once again, we see man in life. But you know, when God created Adam and put him there in the garden and Eve, we find that indeed that God gave Adam a command. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. God says, "Of all the trees of this garden, Adam, thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, God not only gave them that command, but God gave a warning, and God gave them a clear understanding of the consequences of disobedience. For God says, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Of course, men and women say to me, "But Adam didn't die that day." Yes, he did. You see, friend, death in the Scriptures, there's threefold mention of death. First of all, there is physical death. And when you come to the chapter of the book of Genesis, you find that Adam, though he lived all these years, has said these words, "And he died." See, my friend, that day there was sown in Adam's body the seeds of death, though he lived many years. Yet it says, "And he died." And that's a chapter that speaks about others who lived so many years, and yet the story of each one of them, it ends in these words, "And he died." He died. Because God said, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, there was physical death, that came later. But on that day, Adam died spiritually. Because, my friend, that day, Adam was separated because of a sin. The Bible says God drove out the man, and Adam was put out of that garden, and Eve was put out of that garden, and they were separated. You see, up to that moment, Adam and Eve enjoyed the fellowship of God. The voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam knew what it was to have fellowship with God. He enjoyed the presence of the Lord. But that day something happened. Because the Bible says that the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But Adam ran from God. He didn't enjoy the fellowship of God. Why? Because sin had separated him from God. Adam tried to hide himself, but what a fool, because he couldn't hide from God, and neither can you or neither can I. And so, my friend, we find that there's the spiritual death. Yes, that happened at that moment. And my friend, then there was physical death. That happened years later. But my friend, there's another death. It's called the second death. And that is eternal separation from God. And that is the result of a man who not only lives without Christ, he dies without Jesus Christ and goes to hell without Christ. And that is in that lake of fire which burneth forever, which is the second death. Now you say, well, what has that to do with me? Now the Word of God says this, by one man, Romans chapter 5 verse 12, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. But here's where it comes to you. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now nobody can deny this reality, my friend, that death passed upon all men, because the seeds of death are working in our own body. Even this very night, it's working in this preacher's body. Because we all must needs die. Now the Word of God tells us, and we read it tonight, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, friend, the Word of God says, is death. And from that moment of Adam's sin, friend, the shadow of death hang over Adam and his family. Remember, God blessed them and gave them a son. And my, as they looked upon that child, my, they thought it was a gift from God. And so a child is. It's a gift from God. And you know, they looked upon that child, but they didn't know what that child was going to do. God gave him a second son. And my friend, we find that the Word of God tells us that out there in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother. And he slew his brother. In other words, here's the result of Adam's sin coming home to roost on his own family. You see, my friend, it started at home. And here we find that in actual fact, whenever Cain came in that evening, and my Cain and his brother wasn't with them, Abel wasn't with them. He was out in the field, and you know, they waited, and Adam waited, and Eve waited, and then Eve said, Adam, where's Abel? They said, maybe ask your brother. And so therefore they said, listen, Cain, tell us, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He knew exactly where he was. He had killed him. And my friend, for the first time, we find that death not only sowed his seeds, but death has had a harvest. Because the Word of God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's a reaping of the harvest. You see, death passed upon all men. That's Adam's own family. And death came into his home, and let me tell you this, their hearts were breaking. But it was because of sin. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. And friend, the shadow of death hangs over every one of us. Do you know this? As soon as a little baby begins to live, it starts to die. That's just reality. And you know, friend, the very moment you look into that little child's face, and now you see, the little one has life, it's living. And what a joy whenever you see life. There you're holding life in your arms. And yet, friend, that's the very moment that child starts to go down the valley towards death. Because we all must need to die. You know, it's there as we, as every one of us, not only at our birth, but also as we live. We're living amongst a dying people. Every one of us know, our families, listen, we grow older and death is never far away. We can never get away from its shadow. Whether it be in our days of joy, it's there. Whether it be in days of sorrow, it's there. Never far away. I think of we as a family, we were preparing for our daughter's wedding. She was getting married. The Saturday before that she was getting married, there was a neighbor was getting buried. My brother said to his wife, he said, you know, it was the 1st of May, or 1st of March, and it was a cold day. He said, I need a new overcoat. And I'll go in. She said, well, go into the town and take your sister and go into the town. And whatever she picks, I'm happy with them. And then he said, well, listen, I better get some clothes for the wedding as well. And so he did. He went into Cookstown. He got the overcoat. He got the shirt. He got the ties for the matching suit for the wedding. All of these things come home. He was going to the neighbor's funeral, a young woman who died of cancer. And he went up, he took his meal, and then he went upstairs to get ready for the funeral. And he went into the bathroom, stood there to wash his face and go to shave, and the next thing all he heard was a thud. Daughter ran up the stairs, and Daddy was lying on the floor of the bathroom, dead. He went to a funeral, friend, but it was his own. You see the shirt and the tie? He wore it in the coffin. See the overcoat? He never wore it at all. You see, friend. And I buried my brother on Tuesday and I married my daughter on Friday of the same week. You see, the shadow is never far away, is it? That's the reality. That's the reality. I remember as a young preacher, I was Dr. Pace's assistant before I went to Macrofelt. That's for the first time when I ever met a brother Baxter up there in the Martyrs and the Ravenhill Road. Remember a family on the My Lady's Road. I remember Dr. Pace was away and I got this call to go to this house because a young lad, he was 18 years of age. This young lad, 18, it was his 18th birthday, and his mum and dad, he was his only child, and so they bought him a car. And not only did they buy him a car, they give him tickets to go to Scotland with some of his friends for just a break to celebrate his 18th birthday. A friend of him was over in Scotland. He came around the corner and he smashed the car, and the young lad was taken out into God's eternity, the only child. I was only 19 years of age. I was only a young lad as well. I was just a year older. And yet I had to go to that home, and I knocked that door. When I knocked that door and the mother came to the door, my, she saw me, her face lit up. She was so happy. "Oh, Mr. McCrea, it's lovely to see you. It's lovely to see you. Come on in. Come on in." Then she said to me, she said, "You know," I'll not mention the lad's name, but she said, "You know, our son, it was his 18th birthday. You know, his dad and I bought him a car. And to celebrate his 18th birthday. And we got him tickets to go to Scotland. And he went to Scotland. You know, if he only knew you were here, he'd be so happy. He'd be sad he missed you." I have to stand there and tell that mother that that boy would never smile again. And look into her face, because her child of 18 years, that car, he smashed it. And that thing that was supposed to bring some tremendous joy, friend, it broke their hearts, and their lives were never the same. And I've often said this, I felt like a hangman standing at that door at 19 years of age, to tell a mother who was smiling there that her boy would never come home. Why? Because the rider and the pale horse had come. The reality and the shadow of death hangs over every one of us. Friend, I want to speak tonight very simply about this. First of all, I want to talk about a solemn truth. A solemn truth. It says here, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." But here's the solemn truth. In the book of Job, in the chapter 30, Job was talking to the Lord, and Job said this. In the verse number 23, God, he said, "I know that thou wilt bring me to death." He says, "I know." You see, here's not a principle, friend. Here is a reality that he's acknowledging. He says, "I know, God, that thou wilt bring me to death, because God is sovereign in all things." He's sovereign in life, and he's also sovereign in death, friend. Now, whenever Job said this, just remember who Job was. He knew what it was to have a broken heart. One day, Job's sons and daughters were in the elder brother's house. The Bible says they were eating and they were drinking. And whenever they were there, that evening, a messenger came to Job and said to Job, "You know, Job, your oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding. And then suddenly an enemy came and they slew your servants and took the animals away. And I'm the only one that's left." Just whenever he had heard that and was thinking about the cost of what that meant, not only in the animals that were taken, but the servants that were slain. Another man come and told him that the fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants were consumed, and every one of them were gone. And as he was thinking about this, another man came running in and he said, "You know, Job, there came a great wind from the wilderness and it smote the four corners of the house. But it was the house of your family." You know, Job, they were eating and drinking in that house. And the house fell upon your children and they're all gone. They're all dead. Can you think of it? Listen, how quickly can all change? Here was a family. And they were just living, as far as life was concerned. Just, nothing was going to say. They were eating and drinking. And here was godly Job. And he hears that they're all dead. You know, Job also then realized that one day sickness gripped his body and the boils covered him from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he was sitting there, just a mass of affliction. And his wife, yes, who had suffered as Job had suffered in the pain and sorrow of death. And now her husband's sitting there and look at him. And she turns to him and she says, "You know, Job, you'd be better to curse God than die." In other words, say goodbye to God. Say goodbye to God. and die. And Job, as he sits there, he says these words. He said, God, I know. God, I know that thou will bring me to death. And to the house appointed for all living. Yes, he knows the reality of it. And it says, thou wilt bring me. Notice the way though he said it. He says, God, I know that thou wilt bring me. Me, not somebody else. Here's the solemn truth, friend. Me and death. Ah, yes, whenever we think about this reality, we always think that the paper, there will be somebody, well, maybe you lift the paper, you lift the death column, and you see there's somebody's name there. Let me tell you, my friend, it's not always somebody's. Someday it'll be yours or mine. Because God, thou will bring me to death. Joshua in the book of the Old Testament, the chapter 23. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. God took Moses home, and God chose Joshua to take the leadership of the people of God and to lead them into the battles that they had to face. And then one day Joshua called the elders of Israel and the heads and the judges and the officers, and he called the people together and he talked. You know who he talked about? He talked about himself. And he said to them these words. He says, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. You know, friend, let me tell you, I don't care how many days you have, it always comes to this day. He said, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Here was a man that faced many a battle and he won them. He led the children of Israel, my, into the enemy's corner, and my, they conquered the enemy's territory. Ah, he won so many battles, and yet he's facing an enemy. It's his last enemy. But he doesn't win. He said, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Listen, friend, he had to go. And so have you. We all have to go, friend. Used to sing the old hymn, or the old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Friend, that's true. This world is not your home. And let's be quite honest. You and I, in our lives, during our lives, we've been digging and digging and digging deeper into this world. Many people are listening. They're buying and they're buying and they're buying and they're buying. As if they never had to die. Said they're never going to leave. But Joshua says, I have to go. And so have you, and so have I. You see, the book of Ecclesiastes says this, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And you and I know, and we can look back and we can lift our birth certificate and say, well, I know when I'm born. Listen, that's true. But remember, in God's calendar, there's a time to die. It says in Job 7, verse number 10, he shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. And friend, that's true. You climb the stairs. Now maybe you built your new home. And thank God that God gave you the strength and God gave you the finances to do it. And you walk up those stairs. But remember this. One day you'll walk up for a last time. One day you'll sit at that table and have your supper for a last time. Because you see, he shall return no more to his house. Here is a solemn truth. In 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 14 it says this, the woman of Tekoa said to King David, for we must needs die and be as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. In other words, friend, listen, there's no coming back. You're in a one-way ticket, friend. And there's no coming back. You're just like that water that's spilt upon the ground. It can't be gathered. No, my friend. Whenever God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, that's it. As far as this life's concerned. It's over. and we set our plans. But you know what we ought to say? If God will. You see, God's in control, friend. God is not only sovereign in the day of my birth, God is also sovereign in the day of my death, because there's not only a time to be born, there's a time to die. Listen to these words. It is appointed unto men. But you know, not only is there solemn truth here, there's a sobering thought here. One day God said to Isaiah the prophet to go into the presence of a king. His name was Hezekiah. And God said to his servant, listen, I have a message for you to give to Hezekiah. And Isaiah the prophet came into Hezekiah's presence. Here's what he said to him. He said, King, I have a message from God. You know what God told me? God says, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Let me tell you, my friend, not only does Isaiah say that there to Hezekiah, there's many of our loved ones that the doctor said, thou shalt die and not live. There's nothing that I can do, because the last enemy that shall be destroyed, the last enemy that you're going to have to face, and friend, you're going to face the enemy of death. But as far as time's concerned, you're not going to win. You see, an enemy doesn't care. Enemy doesn't care. Your death doesn't care about your family. I remember in over the years of ministry, I remember sitting beside many a little family gathered round a mother's bed. I've heard the children cry with broken heart, Mommy, don't leave us. Mommy, don't leave us. But she did. You see, Fred, death didn't care about the cry of the children. Death doesn't care about that one, listen, your husband. And maybe you're standing there in the presence of death, and your husband's facing the reality of death, and there you are, a wife, and my, there's just the two of you together, and you say, but listen, oh, my family, stay with me. But death doesn't care. Death's an enemy. We, of course, we sing that lovely hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Though sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it is well with my soul. Listen, we sing those words, but let me tell you, friend, they were written with a broken hearted man, Horatius Spafford. He lost his business in Chicago. He was going to help D.L. Moody, and he sent his wife and his four daughters to England that he would follow after. And on the way that his wife and daughter were crossing Channel Bay, the boat smashed, or the ship smashed into another, and the vessel began to sink. He got a message in Chicago. His wife arrived in England, and she sent a message, a telegram to her husband. Just these words. Saved alone. The four children were drowned. But death didn't care. Yes, an enemy. Don't you think, my friend, that somehow that whenever you come to the valley of death and you cry and my, you say, but I don't want to go. Death, get away from me. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave my family. Death doesn't care. Why, death's an enemy. Death doesn't care about your friends. Maybe those that you've relied upon whenever you've been facing trials or troubles in your life. But you know, a friend's a wonderful person to have. A good friend. You're not find many of them, mind you, in life. A real good one you can depend upon in fair weather or foul weather. But one is there at all times. But my, whenever death comes, death doesn't care. I need you. I need your advice. I need your help. I need your comfort. I need your strength. Death doesn't care. Anthony Berger was a great accomplished player. He played the gaither, singing. One night he was sitting in a concert with his friends, and they were singing the gospel hymns. He was only 44 years of age. I tell you, he played a piano like very few can ever play. I just stand back, and when I saw him play that piano. And that night he was sitting, he was playing on the piano, he was playing, "We Shall Behold Him." Then of a sudden, as he was sitting there, he took a massive heart attack. And he fell. You know, friends, in a moment the concert was over. His friends gathered round, they were crying, they were brokenhearted, that this young, accomplished pianist in the service of the Lord was taken away. But death didn't care. Friend, death doesn't care about your faith. You see, whenever the angel of death comes, that pale rider comes on the pale horse comes and stops at your door. Death doesn't care whether you're saved or not. Death doesn't care whether you're ready or not. Death doesn't care whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. No! Death doesn't care. It's your appointed time. Death comes. You have to go. Death doesn't care about your future. What will death mean to you, my friend, to die without the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Job asked the question, "But man dieth and wasteth away, and man giveth up the ghost." And then he asked this, "Where is he? Where is he?" In 50 years of preaching, friend, I've stood in the troubles of this wee province of ours. How many homes I've walked into, and standing there at the side of the coffin, I've seen some broken-hearted loved ones say, "Preacher, tell me, where is he? Where is he?" Let me tell you, my friend, I'll tell you where you'll be. Were you ready for? And if you're saved, you're ready for heaven. And if you're not saved, you're ready for hell. And I can tell you this, when you stand at the coffin and your friends look into your face, I can tell you this, it'll not matter how you look, it's where you are. For you're there forever. But death doesn't care. That's a sobering thought. How could death be so cruel? How can death be so hard-hearted? Do you not hear what the Word of God says? The last enemy! The last enemy that shall be destroyed! Death's the enemy. That's the enemy of the home and the family and the friends. That's the enemy. But then there's a special time, friend. A time to be born. And a time to die. But here's the problem. You don't know the day. In the book of Genesis chapter 27, the old man gathered folks around him. And he said these words. He says, "I'm old. And I know not the day of my death." I know not the day. You see, friend, let's be honest about it. Let's not play around. Every last one of us will put on our shoes in the morning. And there's not one of us know who'll take them off in the evening. Not one of us. I think of a father in a home. He came home from work one night. His two sons were lying in the corner. They were finished work too, and they were lying exhausted. And the father walked in. And he bounced in through the door and he's looked at these two boys half dead in the corner. And he says to them, "Would you look at the two of you?" He says, "I'm twice your age." And he says, "Let me tell you this. I could take any of you on any day." That was on a Friday evening for him. He went to work on the Monday morning. When he went to work on the Monday morning, about 11 o'clock, it was his tea time, as they're sitting at their tea time at 11 o'clock, he said to one of his friends at work, he says, "You know, I have a bit of a pain." And he says, "I don't feel well." His mate said to him, "I'll tell you what you should do. Go to the doctor." He left the job and he went to the doctor's surgery, friend. He went into the doctor's surgery, and of course he was waiting for the doctor to call him. And then this next thing that came, his name came up for him to go to the doctor. And he got up in the doctor's surgery. He said, "Go to the doctor," into the doctor's room. And he fell across the floor. He was gone. It was his day. It was his time. But he didn't know it. "I know not the day of my death." Two young men in the scriptures were talking together. One was a king's son, he was a prince, and the other was a shepherd boy. The shepherd boy was a faithful servant of the king, but the king couldn't see it. Many times he had hunted and tried to kill faithful David. Jonathan was the king's son. And one day, David said to Jonathan, he says, "Jonathan, there's but a step between me and death." And of course, Jonathan didn't want to hear that. He said, "You know, no, David, you're wrong." He said, "You know," he said, but "Jonathan, your father's going to kill me." "No, your father wouldn't do it. My father wouldn't do it." And they decided on a scheme, and when they would find out whether it was true, well, it wasn't, but sad to say it was true. And David and Jonathan, they stood there and they put their arms around each other and they said, "Friend, there's a step between me and death." He felt that death was closing in. But friend, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Who was it that died? Jonathan. David was the one that thought he was close. He says, "There's only a step. Just a step between me and death. It's so close. I feel the hounds of death upon the heels." Jonathan couldn't. He didn't. But Jonathan died before David. You see, friend, the Word of God says, the psalmist, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It is appointed unto men. Notice, not by them. Once to die. Job also said in his chapter 14 that God had appointed a bounds. Listen to this. "That thou hast appointed a bounds which we cannot pass." And you see, when God says it's up, friend, when God says it's the appointed time, I don't care whether there's 1,000 surgeons standing around your side, they'll not keep you 1 second longer. You go, and so will I. But you say, "Preacher, when?" What does God say? "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Listen, friend, age means absolutely nothing. What age do you have to be to die? Go to the graveyard. Go to the cemetery. And friend, it's any age. Many a man, the age that you're at, many a person far younger. So God says, "Boast not thyself."
Don't you think, my friend, that you're going to fight off the death somehow, that you'll cheat it, that you'll be different than everybody else? The last enemy that shall be destroyed, but it's not destroyed. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For we all must needs die. Strength's no protection. Science won't defeat it. Medical advancement will not cheat it. And riches won't buy it all. What did the Queen of England say? She said she had more dresses in her wardrobe than anybody else in the world. And she said these words, "All my possessions for a moment of time." But you couldn't buy it. You couldn't buy it, friend. The Queen couldn't buy it. And neither can you. Because death, a special time. Listen to this. It's appointed unto. Now God set the appointment for you. It's already set. It's already set. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And yet men and women know these realities. They know that they're not sovereign in life. Surely, whenever they look around them and see what's happening, they're not sovereign in death. But it's not me. Jack Hiles was an American preacher. Many times he preached the gospel to precious souls, and the 13th of May 1950 was the date that God wrote in red, Hiles said, of my father's last day. He often preached to his father, he often pleaded with his father to get right with God, but his father would reject the Son of God. And Hiles wrote this, he said, "I didn't know the 13th of May 1950 was that day. And he didn't know it was that day." And the son, the preacher, says, "If I had known, I would have begged him. I would have begged him to get saved. I would have got down on my knees and said, 'Dad, don't put it off, Dad. It's the last day. It's the last opportunity. This is your last day, Dad.' But I didn't know it." Tell me, when do you think's yours? Do you think it's today? Do you? Do you think before the midnight hour strikes? This could be it. The last day. "I am this day," says Joshua, "I am this day going the way of all the earth." Here's the sincere testimony as I close tonight. Amos, the prophet, cried out, in the light of this reality, in the light of eternity, he says, "Prepare to meet my God." Get ready. Get ready. And I'm going to say this, and I'm speaking about myself, and I'm speaking to you, friend, listen. God's already set the appointment, and we'll keep it. We'll keep it. You're not too strong. Your heartbeat's not too great that it stops the last enemy from coming. But listen to this. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Don't forget these two words. Yes, you say, preacher, no, I have to die. But have you thought of this? After this. What comes after? What comes after? How many people go to the graveyard and they walk away and I hear them say, well, that's the end of Joe and that's the end of Mary and that's the end of this one. Let me tell you a fact. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's only the beginning. After this. You know, it's not when you die. It's not by what means you die that really counts, friend. But are you ready to die? Are you ready? Jeremiah the prophet asked the question, what wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now don't be a fool, friend. I'm not talking about somebody else. This is what Job said. God, I know that thou, your sovereign, shalt, that's your, bring me to death. That's solemn. But tell me where. Where will you be in God's eternity? How will you die? David died fearless. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Judas Iscariot, he died a fake. Ah, yes, he sat amongst the people of God and the disciples of the Lord. But he was a devil. He's a fake. Demas! He was a failure. Why? Having loved this present world, worldliness caught got in upon him. And he turned away. Yes, he once walked well. But worldliness got in. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you can look back and you remember the days when once you walked well with God. But you know tonight you're not. You're walking far off. You're out of fellowship. Other things have got in. Demons have forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. The dying thief, he died forgiven. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Abner, he died a fool, for he knew the truth. And yet he died a fool. And there are people sitting in this meeting tonight, and it's not that you don't know that you need to be saved, but you have never come to Jesus Christ. And if you die without the Lord, you too will die a fool. Thank God, Paul died faithful. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I've kept the faith. Well, we've talked about David. We've talked about Judas Iscariot. We've talked about Demas. We've talked about the dying thief. We've talked about Abner. We've talked about Paul, how they died. But tell me, and you? What about you, friend? Which one are you? And after this, the judgment. I beg you in God's name, get ready. And they that were ready went in with him and the door was shut. Dr. Bob Jones, with us in three. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. talked about the time of the Civil War, the American Civil War. And just the night before the great battle, young men were gathered round the campfire. The next day was going to be that awful battle. And one of the young soldiers was sitting there, and he seemed to be appearing nervous. Deep in thought. And one of his mates said to him, Hey, bud. What's the matter? Are you afraid to die? No, said Bud. I'm not afraid to die. But it's what comes after that terrifies me. And friend, if you're not saved, I can tell you this, may the grace of God strike you, because what comes after is hell. And there's no coming back. You're there forever. Oh, that you are wise. Oh, that you would seek the Lord. Oh, that you are ready. There's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He can break every fetter. He can set you free. He can forgive your darkest, deepest sin. He can cleanse your soul in the precious blood that He shed at the place called Calvary. And give you peace with Him. And then when it comes to die, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let's pray.